We have no control over what happens, but we keep serving. Through marriage, through our family, our employers, our friends, and of course our church community. If you think you're here, it's just a coincidence, you're wrong. It's not. Because all of us are here because it's a Christ incident. You were meant to be here, just as I was meant to be here giving this talk. I like Psalm 46, verse 10. Let be and be still and know that I am God. And I also like from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. We all know that a relationship is a two-way street. It's a daily experience that we have to work at constantly. Whether it's being a good wife, mother, co-worker, or friend, it takes time and effort. A relationship with God requires the same time and effort. His benefits are literally out of this world. His Holy Spirit, which was bestowed upon us at our water baptism, knows the mind and heart of God. And we, as followers of Christ, we need to fan that flame of the Holy Spirit. Hence, we're here. That's what we're doing. I came to know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior in a Baptist church in Atlanta through my best friend, Maria, who we both went to St. Francis Catholic School for six years of our life. It was pretty different. It was different for me from what I grew up in the Catholic faith, and I love the traditions, but to really know Jesus as my Lord and Savior was, it's been a phenomenal ride. I'm still pedaling. He's still there. I'm still processing. I'm still growing. But I remember we'd say the rosary in school. Now, I hadn't said the rosary for years, and through the years, you know, I thought, oh, I was reading in here, it's repetitive prayer. Well, yes, it is repetitive prayer, but if you give it an effort, it puts you in a state of grace that only God can give us. And so my mother and I started saying the rosary. I made my home with my mother. After my marriage ended, I went home. And not only did she need me, but I needed her. But we started saying the rosary at the kitchen table. And I didn't even know the Hail Holy Queen, but I've learned it since. It's a beautiful prayer. The words are beautiful, and you really have to think about it, what it's saying. But I'd like to refer to Romans 8. I highlighted everything last night. 8. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. I also like John 14. About the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of Truth, which the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows it, but you know it because it remains with you and will be in you, because we received that Spirit at our water baptism. God had us all in mind and in our heart when he sent his son Jesus as a new covenant to our sinfulness. In John 11, verse 25, Jesus says to Martha, she and her sister's real antsy about getting everything ready and anxious in the house. But Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Also, in John 16:27, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have come to believe that I came from God. And then, of course, I love our most famous that we see. If you pay attention at football games, you'll see John 3:16. Because there's always someone there, and that's good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. We were meant for a relationship with God, but he won't force himself upon us. That's how much he loves us. He gave us free will. Since I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I have tried to some personal prayer time. I live alone. Since my mother passed, I live alone. And in the morning, I like early in the morning, when I get up before work, I'm hanging in my living room on the couch. And I just love that time with God. It's quiet, it's be still and know. The only problem is I have a little critter living in my wall in the kitchen, and you can hear him. So he's up at the same time I'm up, and the same time God's there. But that's okay. But I continue my private prayer time, and he does too. Because if I'm fixing dinner, he's fixing dinner. If I'm in, he's in. But my private prayer time is just that. And that's why I love, be still and know that I am God. There is such peace. God says he will be exalted among the nations, and he will be exalted on the earth. With body, mind, and spirit, we need this quiet time with our Creator. Because God does know our human nature. It's very, very, I think it's hard. It's hard to carve out time in this day and age. But if we try to keep him number one, and I like 1 Peter 2, verse 16, it says, be free, yet without using freedom as a pretext for evil, but of slaves of God. And I think of the handmaiden. Give honor to all. Love the community, fear God, and honor the king. God rewards our obedience. In the birth of Jesus, an exchange with the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and he said to her, Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. The Blessed Mother stayed humble. From Luke 1, I didn't put pieces of paper in here, but I had my tabs. And this is my mother's Bible. She wore it out. I don't know if you ever could wear a Bible out. But Luke 1, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and he says, coming to her, he said, Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and she pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you'll conceive a child, womb, and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. But Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I have no relations with the man? And the angel said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That's what we just did when you guys prayed over me. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God. And what does Mary say? Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel departed. Can you imagine if that angel came to us? Mary was greatly troubled. Wouldn't you be troubled if an angel appeared and left a message from God? I especially like this verse 45, which reads, "Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord himself would be fulfilled." It's believed. That's what we have to do. Mary was obedient to her Father God. In Psalm 103, verse 21, "Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will." Staying open to God's Spirit is the ticket to God. We have to pray to stay in and be in the center of God's will. It's not very easy to die to ourselves, because that old devil will try to get us to change our routine, trip us up in the morning, somehow. Whether it's wake up late, he's always trying to stop us from spending time alone with God. Ephesians 3:14-20. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he may grant you, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine, by the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever." After my marriage ended, I moved back in with my mother. I wasn't going to pay rent, and I took care of her, and she took care of me. Now I was 38 when I got it. I was 34 when I got married. I was only married for a short time, of 4 years. I divorced at 38. That took months to decide if that was God's will for me, but it was. And it was only through prayer and meditation that I came to that decision to divorce. I knew every scripture on divorce in the Bible. I could say where it is now, but I knew that. But anyway. I like to think of Romans chapter 8, verse 35. "Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble, hardship, persecution, hunger, and poverty, or danger, or death?" It was no coincidence that I moved back home at a time that I was needed. It was all of God's plan for me and for my mother. I helped her. She helped me. I'm 40 years old. I'd get up in the morning, go to work. She'd make my bed. Someone said, "I can't believe you're 40 and you let your mother make your bed." I said, "She needs something to do." It was okay. She didn't mind. We had a great relationship, but my mother was one born and raised Catholic that read her Bible, and she lived that word, or she tried to. And she is with the Lord now. And when we started saying our rosary at the kitchen table, now I go to the graveyard and say the rosary with her. Now I know she's not there, but we say the rosary. So I'm up there laying on the ground saying my rosary. But that's all right. It's a very healing. Walking with the Lord is very healing and very peaceful. I want to read from 2 Corinthians 4, 8-11. "We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in us. And then Romans 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that we believe and are justified, and it's with our mouth that we confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. From Romans 8 again, verse 9, it says, but we are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the spirit, if only the spirit of God dwells in you. And then I like Proverbs 9, verse 10. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. From 1 Timothy 6, chapter 12. Compete well for the faith, lay hold of eternal life to which we were called when you made the noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. Living our faith in the resurrection will take an entire lifetime and beyond. The story we hear and tell here on earth is only the beginning. One of my favorite verses is from books is John chapter 14. I think it speaks a lot of all of us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way. Thomas said to him, Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows it. But you know it because it remains with you and will be in you. Now that verse, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Before I was married, I lived with a boyfriend in Florida. And I did it all. Sex, drugs, rock and roll. But there's not a day that went by that through the power of the Spirit that was given to me at my baptism, that I did not feel guilty. I know, and I thank God for that. I thank God for drawing me away from that, because he did. I thank God for for taking the blinders, the scales off my eyes so I could see more clear, because I came to realize, I knew it was wrong from the guilt, but you know, we all have guilt. Catholics are the best at it. But we have to know the grace of God and how much He loves us. And all I know is like how I would hurt my mother, but thank God I was out of Morgantown and not in Morgantown. I mean, not that that makes any difference, because God is God. She didn't like it. She made known. She told me. We talked. But I commend her for her faith and trust and her prayers, because those prayers of a mother never go unanswered. Never, never, never. And I can't stress to people today at work, people come to me, ask me for prayers. I will pray right in my cube with them. People call, they'll send me prayer things. Please pray for so-and-so. I mean, I don't need, I just pass it on. I pass it on to my prayer partners and to Tina. I mean, I pass my prayer requests on. But there's nothing more I enjoy than sharing about the Lord and how He's changed my life, how to be open for it. Now, sometimes my mouth can get me in trouble. That's okay. Because I don't hold back. I don't hold back. I'll tell my brothers. I'll tell my sister. They know that I'm going to speak my heart or speak God, whatever God's taught me through His words, through the time I try to share and spend with Him. I have family members that it was, you know, going to be dating somebody and seeing somebody, and they were going to live together. I said, "Are you crazy?" I mean, and I did it. I know. I said, "It's not right." You know, but it's to this day, she's still living with her boyfriend, and it's been years. And, you know, she just told me she's never felt bad about it. Well, I just have to keep praying. And keep praying for her. For God to take the scales off of us. Because that's what He does. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is my best friend. Someone at work, but high up in management. I'm low on the food chain, but that's okay. I like being low on the food chain. I'll get to retire. But one of our directors, I don't even know what his title is now, it doesn't matter. But I remember when he first came, and he said he was Jewish. And I went, "Oh, my best friend's Jewish." I did say that. And when he said, "Yeah, who's that?" I said, "Jesus Christ." He was like, he didn't know what to say. He did not know what to say. But Jesus Christ is my best friend. I spend more time in my car driving. I said the rosary on the way here that I wouldn't get lost in God's country. I didn't. I spend a lot of time in prayer in my car. The radio's not on. Windows are up. It's my time with God. And the more you allow that time with God, the more you want to do it. I was driving to Pittsburgh with my sister. And her two boys, and the oldest boy's little girlfriend. We stopped at Sheik's. They all got something for breakfast. We're up near Waynesburg. I said, "Okay, now we're going to say the rosary." The boys look at me like, so everybody knew the rosary in the car. And these are a 16-year-old, 11-year-old. And so we started. And I told little Rachel, my nephew's little girlfriend, I said, "Rachel, we're going to do the first decade. What do you want to pray for?" Now, this little girl comes from money, and her parents are divorced. Both mother and father have remarried, and she's trying to get along, and do better. The father lives across country and the mother's here. But my heart broke when she said she wanted to pray for peace in the family. I knew exactly where she was coming from, because it's very, very sad for her, because she wants that peace in her family. Her mother and father put the kids in the middle, and they bicker over it, and the money and time spent. So it's very, very sad for her. So we did. I asked my 11-year-old nephew, he was next, his decade, what did he want to pray for? And he said, way back in the back, he says, I want to pray for all those people that don't believe in God. Yeah. I was like, whoa, I just looked at my sister, I didn't say anything. So we did. The oldest nephew, I can't remember what he said. I was so touched by Rachel, because I knew how hard it is for her coming from a home that's split. And I thought, that little 11-year-old boy wants to pray for people that don't believe in God. I thought, wow, that was pretty profound. Now, 15 years earlier, I don't even know if I could have found a rosary. But my mother had one. But now I try to spend that time with the Lord and the Blessed Mother, because she was a servant of God, and she was a devout Jew. I can't even imagine. And being a servant, I mean, when she heard about her cousin Elizabeth, she immediately went to her. I mean, people commented on me moving back home with my mother. How many men, how many money? Are you kidding me? I had it made. So did she. But, you know, how could you? But my mother and I had a very special relationship. We were good friends. We did get on each other's nerves, but we told each other. I know she received a crown when she passed. We were, four out of her five of us kids were with her when she died. She raised us by herself on a shoestring, because my mother was, I came from a dysfunctional home, and that we were probably the first dysfunctional home when I think of how long ago it was, because, you know, my father was a deadbeat dad. Now, that's the definition now, but at the time, you know, he didn't want to own up to his responsibilities and his part, and that was okay. And when he passed and he had remarried, there were four out of five of us with him, because I have an older brother that lives in across country, so it's a little hard to get back. But I can remember a time when my father was going to have open heart surgery, and after I came to Christ and invited him and made the confession in my heart, I always had this little voice inside. I always wondered about my dad. Where was his relationship with God? I never saw him go to church. I didn't see any of that. And it seems like as people get older, if they get wiser and let the Spirit move them, they will make their peace with God, as he did. But I didn't know. I mean, I wasn't around him. So one of my meditations was about salvation and knowing Christ and seeking forgiveness of our sins. I knew in my heart that I had to go see my dad. He was in the hospital. The next day he's going to have open heart surgery. Anytime we go under the knife, we could maybe be called home. So I had this little tote bag. I get my Bible, and I go up to the hospital. And wouldn't you know, God is so good. His second wife was not there. He's by himself in the hospital room, which was good, because, you know, she didn't like me too much. She only accepted me because I was his daughter, I guess. It's neither here nor there. He was by himself. I knew that I was supposed to do what I was supposed to do. I walk in, we visit, we talk. He's laying there. And I said, you know, Dad, I said, you're going to have your chest cracked open tomorrow. And you know, anything could go wrong. And I just need to know where you are with God, because I don't know. And I need to know where your relationship, who Christ is to you. He's laying there and he looks at me and he says, well, he's my Lord and Savior. I said, that's good. I said, have you asked him for forgiveness for your sin of adultery? He looked at me and he said, yes, I have. Well, I knew then that if he was sincere, and only God would know, if he was sincere, then I know. And I told my dad, well, I can guarantee you that if you were sincere, I know that our God was sincere and he's forgiven you of your sins. Because I don't want anything to happen to you, but there's that possibility that it could. He says, well, no. Well, he came through it. And I was an adulterer. I had sex outside of marriage when I lived in Florida. There was no difference. But I've asked God to forgive me of my sins. And I believe he had. But I didn't know where my father was. My mother was a different story. She never had another man in her life. We struggled. We were poor. We didn't know we were poor. But there's so many blessings in being poor, as far as money poor. That my mother always said that. And when she died, the four of us were with her. The other one was cross country trying to get back. But the 6 months, 8 months before my father passed, it was the fall of the year, my younger brother comes to my mother and says, Mom, if we're coming upon Christmas. It's going to be his last. My dad knew it was going to be his last Christmas. And my brother comes to my mother and says, can Dad come? Can Dad and Marge come Christmas Eve to the house? I looked at my mother. I was like, whoa. And this is the woman that broke up our home. I looked at my mother and I said, that's your call, not mine. Mm-hmm. I mean, we live together, but it's her house, that's her call. It's a good thing my brother didn't ask me. But my mother let my dad come on Christmas Eve, because that's what she hosted with the family, and the woman that broke up our home came too. We sat at the kitchen table, we broke bread, we shared meal, she watched as the grandkids opened presents, my dad was there, the woman that broke us up, and all of us were there. Now, if that's not the hand of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and my mother was on even keel. It was, I knew then that my mother received the jewel in her crown. I knew then. That her actions said so much to me that Christmas Eve, and it was my father's last Christmas Eve, and that's the only time that woman has been in our home. But how my mother did that was only by the grace of God and her faith and trust in her Lord and Savior. There have been incidences like that through my whole life. My mother did the five of us, raised the five of us. And when I was married, I inherited two stepchildren. And they never had stability in their life. Both mother and father were alcoholics. Both grandfathers on either side were alcoholics. And alcohol was part of my demise of my marriage. But those children, when I was married to their father, my mother always told me after my divorce and when I moved town that I was there for those kids. I wasn't there for my ex-husband. I was there for those children. And those kids, their parents, both their mother and father died from alcoholism, both suddenly at before the age of 60. And to this day, both those children have embraced God in their lives. They have chosen different paths, and you don't know you're a servant of God, because I don't know I'm a servant of God. I just know I love the Lord, and I share Him. I tell people to turn it over to God, give it to Him, but you got to leave it there. And we don't. That old devil will bring it back in our mind. You just got to give it back. And that it takes practice. It takes practice, and it's constant. You constantly have to battle it. But I remember telling my stepdaughter that something happened in her life that didn't go well, and that wherever God shuts a window, He's going to open a door somewhere down the path. She's never forgotten that. They have blessed lives. And it's amazing to know my mother, I still think of that to this day. My mother was right. I was there for those kids. I wasn't there. I was there for those kids, and I didn't even know it. But they have blessed lives. They know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. They spend time in His Word. They both pray. And I know that they'll be blessed. And we will always make room for God in our lives and our heart. We have to. Otherwise, I don't know how people do it without Him. Our God is a good God. And if you allow yourselves to be open, He'll move us. And He'll speak. And He will speak to you in that still small voice. A voice that will be audible to you. I was out to dinner with a girlfriend in the summer, and we were coming home. We were coming by one of my brother's apartments. My brother was out on his porch waving us down. We stopped, and he said, "We have to get to the hospital." Denise, my only sister, my youngest, the baby in the family, she went into a swimming pool. She hit her head. I was like, "Oh, okay." At that time, I wasn't driving. I was with my girlfriend. I heard an audible voice tell me, "She's going to be okay." She's going to be okay. That's all that was said. Prior to that, into my coming, inviting Christ into my life, and daily trying to give Him rain, I had said a prayer of a hedge of protection around my brothers and sisters. No matter where they were, no matter what they were doing, if my brothers were at the bar, if my sisters, it didn't matter where we were, what we were doing. I prayed that hedge of protection. I believed in it. I asked God to keep them safe. I never wanted to see my mother lose a child before her. It's not normal, but it happens. It's tragic, but I never wanted that for my mother. And I prayed about that. So anyway, I asked this hedge of protection around my family. So this little voice told me, "She's going to be okay." So I said, "Okay, we have to get to the hospital." We go to the hospital. She's at Mon General in town. And she has a gash on top of her head. They were moving her up and back. Up, back. Looking at his head. And she kept saying, "I feel like something's stuck in my throat. I feel like something's stuck in my throat." One of the docs, they had x-rayed her. She seemed okay. But they were putting her up, putting her back. And they'd already stitched her head. Finally, the doc said, and she kept saying, "I feel like something's stuck in my throat. It's hard to swallow." The doctor said to the aides, "Take her back downstairs. X-ray her from here down." Huh. Because they only x-rayed her from here up. And they stitched her head. When she came back, He got the x-rays. It was like, are you kidding me? She had a broken neck. Now mind you, she's in this bed now. They're putting her back. Because I was there. I was with her. I was helping her around and go back. And here, they immediately backboarded her, put a collar on her, called the ambulance. We had to go to Ruby because there's no neurological floor at One General. And she was immediately put in a Stryker frame, 4 holes drilled in her head, and waiting for her halo vest. They measured her for her halo vest. But here, she had entered the pool feet first. She was doing a life-saving dive. And she was young, she was strong, she still is strong, and she's blessed up here. I always said, it was a chest. Anyway, and she literally bent over, hit her head on the bottom, pulled him up. And she had a broken neck. The first 72 hours, paralysis can set in. My mother and I sat in that waiting room at that hospital for the first 72 hours, and my other brothers have been back in and out visiting. And I knew deep in my heart, I knew she was going to be okay, but it's a very stressful time, as you all know. The doctors today have used her x-rays because the head of orthopedics up there said, Denise, if you'd see your x-rays, you would think you were either dead or paralyzed. And she's neither to this day. So she knows. So she has this halo on when they get it. They order it, they get this vest, she has this halo on. She's at home. I think another brother even knew somebody that was in hospital, so I got her hospital bed at home because, she, you know, she's got this thing. She has to tighten bolts to keep her head held in place. And she is there feeling sorry for herself. My God, I got in her face. I said, we can't feel sorry for ourselves. Denise, you're alive. You're just walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You've got to trust Almighty God, you're alive. And she did. She snapped out of it. But that was a miracle. That was God's hand in my life because I knew he was faithful. I knew he protected my brothers and sisters no matter where they are or what they're doing. She was just swimming. She was with 2 other girlfriends. But that was a miracle in our lives. And we continue to share and talk about it to this day. I'd like to read I have this little daily reading book, Jesus is Calling. And I just laugh because God's so good. Yesterday's reading, because I was anxious about this talk, was, I'm going to read you yesterday. Meet me in the morning stillness while the earth is fresh with the dew of my presence. Worship me in the beauty of holiness. Sing love songs to my holy name. As you give yourself to me, my spirit swells within you till you are flooded with divine presence. The world's way of pursuing riches is grasping and hoarding. You attain my riches by letting go and giving. The more you give yourself to me in my ways, the more I fill you with inexpressible heavenly joy. I was like, okay, Lord, I'll give this talk. I don't know what I'm going to say. Pardon me? That was from Psalm 29 and 1 Peter 1, verse 8. Psalm 29, verse 2, and 1 Peter 1, verse 8. That was your yesterday's reading. Today, you guys think you're here? God wants you here. Come to me for all that you need. Come into my presence with thanksgiving, for thankfulness opens the door to my treasures. When you are thankful, you affirm the central truth that I am good. I am light, in whom there is no darkness at all. The assurance that I am entirely good meets your basic need for security. Your life is not subject to the whims of a sin-stained deity. Relax in the knowledge that the one who controls your life is totally trustworthy. Come to me with confident expectation. I love that. Confident expectation. When we ask, you gotta be confident. He's gonna answer. There is nothing you need that I cannot provide. That's Psalm 95, verse 2. In 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. Thank you, guys. I love you. Thank you.